Hello, 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 and welcome to the roundup on geeksofdoom.com. I'm Andy Sorsini. I am known as Mr. Babyman amongst my social media circles, and I'm here with Greg Davies, who is known as CGT2099 amongst his social media circles. And on this show, we usually talk a little bit about movies, music, and what's going on geeksofdoom.com, as well as our respective podcast, Social Blend and The Drill Down. How you doing today, Greg? Greg, thumbs up.
Yeah. Sorry, that sign language didn't come through. Sorry about that. I'm good. I'm good, mate.
We're experimenting by doing this broadcast on Google Hangouts rather than Skype is what we usually do. Eventually, we're planning on having the Hangouts be Google's Google has a project called Hangouts on Air, which means that people can form a Hangout and invite other people not to join in on the Hangout, but actually just to watch, to observe the Hangout. And then later on, those recorded Hangouts get sent out to YouTube. And so we're practicing this with the hopes that someday we might be in a Hangouts on Air part of that program. So this is just kind of a test run. But yeah, for the most part, you'll just be hearing this audio.
So if there's any Google employees out there, by the way.
Yeah, that want to hook us up.
Yeah, we're interested because apparently you can, you know, we're waiting on it. You got to get an invite to do this stuff. So we'd love an invite. I got to say, I mean, the platform for Hangouts for me, Andy, is a lot more conducive for podcasting live than what, say, Ustream was.
Right. I would agree.
I used to run into all kinds of problems with that. And I don't know how you keep doing it, but do you still use Ustream for the Brilliant?
I do, but we don't push video out anymore because it just got to be too... Ustream, there's a lot of issues with Ustream. I'm not that thrilled with it. A lot of it has changed since Ustream first started, and a lot of it is now not really conducive to using it as a podcast platform, unfortunately.
Well, I've got to say, and the listeners out there who are listening to the Geeks of Doom Roundup, if this term pans out and we get to do the whole... podcasting via Google Plus Hangouts. The interesting thing about it, or the inconvenience, is that I'm going to have to be clothed.
Yes. And I have to stop picking my nose while we record the podcast, I think.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Well, let's get the show on the road, shall we?
Yes. Yeah, so we normally this week we talk about stuff going on in music and movies, and we usually start off with a movie trailer, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I was just going to say, last week we didn't have a Geeks of Doom roundup because of the Easter weekend, and I had a separate trailer picked out for that, and I'm so glad a better trailer came out.
Yes.
So I didn't have to do it. The original choice I had was. Rock of Ages piece of crap.
Oh yeah,
which is just absolutely atrocious.
I have to ask you, what do you think of? Yeah, I mean, you're telling me it's atrocious, but I mean, because the idea behind that movie is it's a musical that uses classic '80s heavy metal bands as, and when I say heavy metal, I mean mostly like glam rock bands. As it's as the music for the musical. What do you think about that concept?
Oh, I'm fine with the concept. I have no idea what the actual musical is like on stage. I'm sure it's quite interesting. I'm sure it's actually, quite involved, and I'm sure it's actually quite enjoyable, seeing as it's being adapted into a film.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with it is that, I mean, the moment I saw it, I was like, this is like Glee. This is like that shit in Glee. And I looked into the director or producer or whatever who was behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
What do you know? He's behind the scenes of Glee as well.
Oh, so, really?
You know, to the makers of that film, I have three words for yourself. Three words for you. Go fuck yourselves. That's what I would say, honestly. It is the biggest slap in the face to any fan of that era of music. The way they're presenting that as this souped up, unreal bubblegum world, right, is just awful.
What do you think about Tom Cruise playing like a Nikki Sixx clone?
Well, actually, to be quite honest with you, he was the only aspect of the trailer I was quite impressed with, to be honest with you. I mean, Tom Cruise is a superb actor. I think he can pull any role as far as I'm concerned. It's a bit disappointing for me to see the rest of the film be. I mean, look, you can polish a turd with Tom Cruise all you want, but it's still going to be a turd. You know, it just looks awful. It looks awful.
Whenever I'm polishing turds, I usually do it with Tom Cruise.
Well, very disappointed at that. I mean, it's just ugh. Anyway, I want to get off that subject.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the trailer that we are going to talk about this week.
Yes, we are going to talk about something that I am absolutely intrigued about, and I'm definitely going to see this in the theater. The concept sounds a little hokey when you think about it. Like, it's Bruce Willis versus Bruce Willis, but it's not really Bruce Willis versus Bruce Willis. It's a movie called Looper, and it's coming out during the summer, I believe. And it has Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is playing a younger version of Bruce Willis character, and Bruce Willis, who's playing the older version of the Bruce Willis character. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you have to see this trailer, because the makeup guys, what they've actually done is they've made up Gordon-Levitt to not look exactly like what Bruce Willis was like, 30 years ago, but more like a morph between what Joseph looks like in reality and what Bruce Willis looked like way back when at his age. And so you've got this really creepy realism that's, where these guys actually look alike. You're convinced looking at them that they could be the same character. The mannerisms are fantastic. I mean, he's gone all out in terms of his performance and his voice. We'll talk a little bit about his voice after we hear the trailer audio. But it's actually looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. What the premise is, time travel. And I'm a sucker for time travel films.
Sure.
It's not just the Doctor Who thing. It's like I just like the whole timey wimey stuff,
right?
The implication of the title Looper being a time loop, and the premise is that a looper is someone in the past before time travel has been invented, who is hired by organized crime to take out people who have wronged the organization or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're back in time and they get killed. And, the concept is that Gordon-Levitt's character, when he's older, has done something against the organized crime syndicate. And he basically is assigned with assassinating himself.
My guess is, and I haven't seen the movie, I don't know anything about it, but I'm just throwing it out there because I've been thinking about this trailer for a while, is my guess is when an assassin reaches kind of the end of their career, they get rid of the assassin to get rid of, any sort of loose ends. And so that is kind of a natural progression of a looper's life,
and interesting,
and that we find out through Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character that, and this, I don't know if this is spoilers or not, this is pure speculation on my part, that some of the other people that they're sending back for Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the young Bruce Willis to assassinate, have been other loopers, and he would never know who it was because all he sees is these hooded characters sent back to him. and he kills them. And I bet you that's what's going on, is that they're assassinating, amongst the other people that they're assassinating, they're also assassinating the Loopers when they've reached the end of their contract.
My guess is actually that the authorities have caught on to their game.
Hmm.
And so they're getting rid of they have to get rid of the Loopers.
Interesting.
Because they can't send someone back to kill the young Looper. Might as well get rid of the older Loopers by sending them back to be taken out.
Sure.
And that's my guess.
And how ironic to be assassinated by themselves.
Well, it's an interesting approach to the time travel thing. Oh. We've seen, characters meet themselves in time travel stories before, but this is an interesting approach to it. Anyway, without further ado, here is the audio for the trailer, for the teaser trailer for Looper.
And listen for Joseph Gordon-Levitt's imitation of a young Bruce Willis when you're hearing this trailer. So here we go.
Time travel has not yet been invented, but 30 years from now, it will have been. I am one of many specialized assassins in our present called Loopers. So when criminal organizations in the future need someone gone, they zap him back to me, and I eliminate the target from the future.
Oh la la.
Loopers are well paid. We live the good life. And the only rule is, never let your target escape. Even if your target is you.
I'm gonna fix this! I'm gonna fight it! I'm gonna kill him!
Time travel crap just fries your brain like an egg.
Oh, there you go. There's the trailer for Looper. That movie comes out September 28th of this year.
Oh, okay. So we've got a bit of a wait there. I dare say that's like the tail end of the summer season. So it's probably easing people into the dead zone of theatrical releases. Because as you know, Andy, like it's usually October, November when the crap starts,
mm-hmm.
like the stuff that they're dumping, so that it's not going to be an Oscar contender, and it wasn't going to be big enough for a summer release. So it's just before that kind of season, before all the Oscar nominees come out, much later in the year. But it looks like a hell of a fun film, and I'm really looking forward to going and seeing it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I'm looking forward to it too. I think it's
so. Yeah, and the voice, you were right, dead on about the voice. Like his voice, he doesn't try to totally impersonate Bruce. But he impersonates a bit of a hint of how Willis sounded back in the 80s.
Yes,
And so there is that kind of touch there. I think Gordon-Levitt's performance in this film is going to sell the film more than what the special effects will, more than what the even the plot will. I think his performance and the makeup is going to be what sells this film.
Yeah, and he's just a great. I think we're going to see a lot of work from Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the years to come. He's an emerging star. He's proven his worth as a talented young actor, and I just can't wait to see his career blossom.
You know, he's in The Dark Knight Rises too, right?
That's right. I don't know what role he plays, but I know he's in it.
Yeah, he's going to be in that movie too. So he's having a hell of a year. So, but while we're on the topic of films and milestones in films, the The big news in the last week, of course, is that Titanic is earning a buttload of cash with the re-release of the film in 3D format. And Andy, why have they re-released the movie in 3D format? Why specifically at this time?
Well, first of all, because James Cameron loves money. And secondly... and secondly, because this year, and in fact, this very day that we are recording right now, April 15th, is the 100th anniversary of the sinking, the tragic sinking of the Titanic.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
I thought it was tax day.
That too. Two tragic moments. Two tragic celebrations.
That's true.
Yeah. So...
of the sinking of the Titanic.
That's right.
I have to ask you, I saw that you wrote a review at geeksofdoom.com.
I did.
About the 3D version of the film. I can't be bothered going back and in the theaters. You know, I've seen it a couple of times already, and, you know, it ends the same way. Every time.
Right. So, I mean, and the 3D version doesn't change that at all. The Titanic still goes down. 1,514 passengers still die at the end of the movie, unfortunately.
Well, so what was it like? What is it?
Well,
is it worth someone like me going, you know, shelling out the money to experience the death of hundreds of people all over again?
Well, let me tell you, because yeah, I did in fact see this film again. I bit the bullet. This would be the second time in my life that I've seen Titanic. The first time was in the theaters during its initial run, and this time for the 3D run. And I have to say that the 3D post conversion is one of the best that I've ever seen. I think Cameron spent it completely looks like it was originally acquired in 3D. There's nothing to me that feels kind of fake or even, a lot of the complaints about 3D is that you can kind of tell that it wasn't originally acquired in 3D. And it really, to me, feels like they did a great job. But they spent, about over a year putting this 3D conversion together, and it at an expense of $18 million. And yeah, I did write up on geeksofdoom.com, and in there I outlined some of the problems that I had in the film, and I'll some briefly summarize a couple of them here as long as we're talking about it. I thought overall, technically, it's an impeccable film. It's a brilliant looking film. The problems that I had with the film was that, any scene involving the Jack and Rose relationship, I felt was very kind of stilted and on the nose. And I mean, overall, James Cameron just cannot write compelling emotional dialogue. That's his weak point. He does all the technical stuff great, and all of the if this movie was presented as a documentary, and if you'd edited out the Jack and Rose stuff in there, it would be just a brilliant documentary on the subject, because everything else seems to be fairly accurate and compelling. But the problem I had was that I didn't really care that much for Jack and Rose. Also, I felt that, he does this bookend thing where the Jack and Rose story is presented as the recollections of the older Rose.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you start off in present day, and the older Rose joins a deep-sea diving exploration team that is exploring the Titanic. And the problem that I had with that was that the woman who played old Rose, I thought she was a terrible casting choice, because she cannot act worth a whit. And when she's talking about what should be the most intense and memorable life-changing event of her life, it feels like she's narrating an audiobook. It's very kind of, yeah, no, it's very, Titanic was the ship of dreams. It's very monotone it's you know, God bless her. She's passed away since, but I thought it was just a terrible performance. And it, and if I couldn't buy her as the young Kate, as the older Kate Winslet, then to me there's no point in even having that whole bookend in the movie at all. They could have lopped that off.
They could have kept that for like a director's cut or something.
Totally.
So the big question on everyone's lips, Andy, about this whole thing is, you know, when can we expect the sequel? Hey, you know there actually is a movie called Titanic 2.
Right? Is there?
Yes, there is. It's a cheesy B-grade disaster film.
Oh my gosh!
And it's basically they build a ship called Titanic the Second, Titanic 2.
I'm actually curious. I don't know that anyone has ever christened a ship Titanic since the Titanic.
That would be something I would have to look up and read about.
Because that would just, to me, just be a Titanic mistake.
Touche. It's what I think is a mistake is, as no doubt you've heard, like the mainstream media has been overdoing this whole 100th anniversary this week. I mean, I know it's a milestone.
It is a milestone.
You know, I know it's definitely worth some coverage.
Sure.
It's been like an onslaught in the media all week, leading up to this weekend. And one of the things that has been blowing my mind was the cruise that was recreating the voyage.
Oh, God. That sounds like a mistake.
Who are these people that are getting on this ship? What is wrong with them?
Are they actually going up to the North Atlantic where the icebergs are?
I don't care. I hope they sink and die.
Oh, God, that's a terrible mistake. Why would you even get on a cruise that intends to recreate the Titanic disaster?
Oh, it's probably like something where they're selling tickets for like, you know, a whole shitload of money and all the elites, you know, shelling out the money for the experience. And, you know, it's just crazy. Not interested in it.
Yeah.
Really. I think though, you know, we are of course leading up to the music segment of the show.
Yes.
Right here tonight.
Yes.
And your selection is Celine Dion.
Celine Dion, everybody. No. I'm gonna spare everybody. I chose Titanic also to tie into our music selection this week, but I'm gonna spare everybody My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. And instead, my music choice is going to be by the group Gaelic Storm. And Gaelic Storm portrayed the live band in the movie who played in the third class steerage section. And they played this a pair of songs. And I don't know the songs offhand. One of them was, one of them's called O'Mahony's and the other one is called Murphy's Reel. And the two songs together, the Blarney Pilgrim either the Blarney Pilgrim and Drowsy Maggie or O'Mahony's and Murphy's Reel. Maybe we have an Irish, music listener in our listening as part of our group here that might be able to correctly identify it. But it's one of those.
No. They're all at the pub.
But this group, Gaelic Storm, played this set that I'm about to play for you during the scene in the movie where Jack and Rose are joining the party down in steerage, in third class steerage. So without any further ado, here is Gaelic Storm with their Titanic set. A little bit of Gaelic Storm playing their Titanic set, which is comprised of two tunes that I am not entirely sure of, but we'll get the, I'm sure we'll get the information on that at some point.
Music to Drown To.
Yes, it makes me want to grab a bottle of Bushmills and some Harp lager and drown my sorrows.
Oh, Guinness, mate. Oh, Guinness.
Guinness, too. Guinness is a little thick. I mean, I like Harp because it's a lager. Guinness is... Stouts are a little... Are a little thick for me.
Yes. It's been a while since I've had a bit of Guinness, actually.
Yes.
I should go out and get some sometime.
So, so Greg, why don't you tell us about the story that you want to highlight from Geeks of Doom this week?
I just want to say this article is written by myself, and your article about the Titanic 3D review,
yes,
was also, you know, obviously written by yourself. We don't always choose our own articles from Geeks of Doom. We usually pick a few stories from the site from a few different writers that just so happened to be time around that we chose our own. But the big news on the Star Wars front of things is that there's a new novel from Timothy Zahn coming out for the Star Wars Expanded Universe. And it's really, the concept is really interesting. And I think it might switch a few people on to picking up the books that they, when previously they might not have done otherwise. Years ago, the Star Wars novels, they used to focus on the galaxy's in peril again, and the rebels or the New Republic must save the galaxy.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. Whereas now, what we're tending to see in a lot of the newer books that are coming out is that they're looking at some subgenres and looking at like a bit of a microcosm of the galaxies. For example, we had Death Troopers a few years ago, which was basically Dawn of the Dead meets Star Wars.
It
was And we also had Darth Plagueis came out this year in novel format, which was really interesting. Told the story of Darth Plagueis and how he trained Darth Sidious, but it was told in a very almost like a Godfather / organized crime kind of way, which was really interesting. This is the same kind of thing, with the exception that the main characters in this are Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Lando Calrissian. And it's a heist story. So basically what they're doing is they're taking stories like Ocean's 11, The Usual Suspects, The Italian Job, mixing that into the Star Wars universe where Han, Lando, and Chewie are basically the Star Wars Ocean's 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Solo's 3, if you
will.
Oh,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's basically going to be them taking on some kind of heist criminal challenge. And, you know, it'll be really interesting to see where they go with this. But I can't think of anyone better than Timothy Zahn to go ahead and, you know, take that on board as a, you know, as a story to write. I think
it's fantastic. It seems really promising. I can't wait to see. Because, I mean, who do you love better in Star Wars universe than the Scoundrels?
Right? Oh, I know. It's the fantastic. Yeah, it's called Scoundrels, Star Wars Scoundrels, and it comes out at the end of the year, December 26th.
Uh-huh.
Boxing Day for the Australians out there. Amazon are taking pre-orders for it right now.
All right, so, cool.
Looks like a lot of fun.
Well, I hope that they are able to do it on audiobook or ebook as well. Cause
it'll be out on Kindle for sure.
I've kind of completely switched over recently from paper to ebook or audiobook.
Yeah, I've surprised myself immensely. I grabbed myself a Kindle and I'm finding it highly enjoyable. So, as a matter of fact, Andy, I'm reading Game of Thrones at the moment, so I haven't seen the series at all. I want to read the book first, and I want to tell you a little story that I was bitching about on Social Blend. Uh-huh. This is a segue into our podcasting little bit of the show.
All right.
I bitched about this on Social Blend last week, and so I'm halfway through the book, or a little over halfway through the book, and Jay, who loves, he's probably watching it right now, for all I know. You know, he's a Game of Thrones whore. He loves it. And he got me into the book, and I've been enjoying it so far. And then sometime last week, he sent me a link, and it was one of those articles that was written by some, like, really hardcore right-wing fundamentalist Christian that hates everything.
Yeah.
Same kind of people that bitched about Harry Potter being, like, corrupting to the children. And the same kind of arguments that they're putting forward to Game of Thrones. Well, he sent me this link and going, oh, I'm raging right now. So I click on the link and I scroll halfway down the page and there's a picture of what happens to one of the main characters, Ned. And I'm like, dude, what?
Why would...
What the F, dude? What? He's like, oh, everyone knows that. That's not a spoiler.
Well...
Not a spoiler. He's dead. How was I supposed to know that?
And then spoilers for our audience who are listening, too, who haven't...
screw them. I've been spoiled. Anyway, that aside, we also, in the most recent episode of Social Blend, we welcomed our new co-host, Tara Chavera, otherwise known as Media Knox, musician from the UK. She has joined us as our new permanent co-host. So it's me, Jay, and Tara now.
All right.
And so we hung out on Social Blend last week, and we did talk a lot about Game of Thrones. We also briefly brought up the story about the new internet legislation that's moving around the place called CISPA. Which is just absolutely atrocious. We had a look at Gawker's Fox News Mole, which got a bit of hits for Gawker last week. And then we also had a look at some of the controversies surrounding EA Games last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the we closed out the show with the breaking news as it was at that time, with Axl Rose announcing to the world that he is not going to attend, or he did not, as a matter of fact, because it happened last night, he would not attend the ceremony for the induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he refused to allow the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induct his name into their thing. So, yeah, he's
a
dick.
What a whiny little bitch. Pardon my French.
As for this week on Social Blend, well, we're going to continue our coverage on the issues with internet and privacy. And there's also an interesting story that I came across over at CNET about a gentleman who is aiming to put together a new ISP who is going to be putting privacy first. So that's going to be an interesting story. The other thing that grabbed my attention this week that I'd really like to talk about is that Vatican Library are in the process of, or they will be in the process soon, of digitizing over 1 million pages of ancient texts.
Oh, wow.
Online. And so
any of their pornography archives are going to be part of those texts?
I don't know, but I'm kind of curious if this, like, if they accidentally scan like a page that said, yeah, let's call him Jesus. I'm just kidding. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of material the Vatican is actually going to be letting out there, considering the history behind the Vatican, especially in their early days, as they, well, they fairly much wrote the Bible in a lot of ways when they were putting it together. And, you know, back in the day, it was a hugely editorial process. And so it'd be interesting to see whether any of that information gets out. Of course, a lot of that stuff is held quite secret and sacred to the Vatican. So it's highly doubtful that they would let any of that stuff slip out into the public. But it'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. We should get WikiLeaks on the case. WikiLeaks from the Vatican.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
So that social blend for last week and this week, what about the drill down, mate? What's going on with you guys?
Well, last week we discussed, our main topic of discussion was the $1 billion purchase by Facebook of mobile phone photo startup Instagram.
Oh.
And whether or not $1 billion purchase of a small startup is an indicator of an impending new another tech bubble. And we determined that it's not, that the Instagram purchase is actually fairly justified. Maybe not at $1 billion, but, you know, it's Facebook's money to spend. And we felt that they kind of needed this, the Instagram community.
Don't you think they kind of hyped that up a bit to kind of draw attention away from the fact that Facebook are supporting CISPA?
I don't know about that. I mean, that's kind of a far stretch of to spend $1 billion to avoid the system.
No. I'm talking about that they pumped up the PR about it to distract from that element of bad press.
Well, I think
I'm not saying Zuckerberg went out and going, quick, they're onto us, buy Instagram.
I think anytime anybody spends $1 billion on anything, there's going to be some sort of PR automatically for. You can't stop that kind of PR, especially in the tech industry.
Oh, I know, but it just, to me, as a reader of this kind of info online, it felt like a flood of information, like more so than any other. It was pretty remarkable. But the other thing is, like, it's remarkable as well, just in, you know, in passing, mentioning this, that sites like Instagram and Pinterest have gathered so much momentum so quickly, you know, in their early form. It boggles my mind compared to, I mean, Andy, you and I we traditionally been early adopters.
Sure.
And we jumped into Twitter from day one.
Yep.
And look how long that took to take off into the mainstream. And now it's just blows my mind that Pinterest and Instagram are taking off the way they are. It's almost, it feels to me that we're in an unpredictable stage of social media development now.
That was kind of the idea about the whole bubble talk is that what is the meaning of this event and does it portend another bubble? But I think it was fairly easy to kind of divine Facebook's interest in Instagram, and I think that they I don't know if I would have spent $1 billion. I think it was fairly justified. We also talked about Apple recently patched a Trojan that had affected over half a billion Macs, turning them into spam bots, which is an unheard of event in the Mac industry.
The largest market share.
Yes, yes, yes. And we talked about that was basically the reason why is that, you know, when Apple had only 5% of the market share of the home personal computer market share, nobody cared. Nobody cared about creating Trojans for Mac. But now that they have a much larger piece of the pie, they're on the radar now. We also talked about Jack Tramiel, who was the founder of Commodore Computers. He recently passed away at age 83. He was the founder of Commodore Computers. And then later on, after Atari had its heyday with the home video game market and they started getting into personal computers themselves, he was the founder of that company as well. He was the owner of that company as well. And we talked about, what else did we talk about? That's basically the important stuff that we talked about last week. And this coming week, we're going to be talking about Google announcing a stock split and what the motivation behind that stock split is, as well as Valve unveiling, you know, Valve is the company behind such popular video games as Half-Life, the Half-Life series, and the Portal series. And they've revealed their mystery hardware project, which is wearable computing. And so we're going to be talking about a little bit about that, as well as other stories that have yet to emerge between now and Wednesday when we do our live show. What about you guys? When do you guys do your show?
Wednesday nights we record Social Blend, and it's usually up online Thursday morning for your commute or for annoying your co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
Listening at home, depending on what you do, and you can catch us at social-blend.com and also on iTunes. We're on iTunes as well. I also want to mention the other podcast that I do with Lee Garnett, otherwise known as N Comet, the genius behind the War comic series. He and I do a weekly podcast called Disquisition, which you can see at disquisitionshow.com, and it's an evolving show, and that's now on iTunes as well. So you'll be able to subscribe to that with the upcoming episode, and you'll be able to catch that every Monday night or Tuesday morning at disquisitionshow.com.
You know, I recently added Lee on my Instagram list. He had a I noticed that he had joined Instagram, and I added him on my Instagram list. And it's the first time I'd ever seen a picture of Lee, and he's a remarkably handsome young man. Well, I don't know about young man, but he's a remarkably handsome.
I'll mention that to him on the show when we next record that you find him remarkably handsome.
Well, you know, it frustrates me because, you know, it's one thing to be a genius, to be a frightening genius, but to be a frightening genius and to have good looks along with that just aggravates me to no end.
It's an interesting little show that we do. It's a meandering through our rambling thoughts on post-market ideas of social media and looking at it from completely different perspectives. So, among other things, you know. So
yes. So is that it for this episode of the Roundup?
Yeah, I think we're we're like the Titanic, mate. We're done. We're done.
Well, women and children first aboard the lifeboats. That's all I have to say.
Yep, we're going down with the ship, folks. We'll catch you for another roundup probably next week. And as always, right here at geeksofdoom.com. You can also check out, if you scroll down, if you're at the site, we have the links to all the articles that we talk about here in the show. And, of course, you can also catch the drill down here at this site as well, which is the podcast that Andy hosts. And you can catch Social Blend at social-blend.com. We'll catch you next week for another edition of the roundup.
Dilly gaff.